Listen to KSL for the new and traditional content you've always loved. There's the new Inside Sources, expanded from 9 to noon, and new expanded news coverage with Maria Chaleos on midday, noon to 3. And of course, the news and weather from voices you love, mornings and afternoons. Here are new traditions and the familiar ones on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Welcome to the KSL Real Estate Show. Hear updates on the national and local Utah real estate markets. We cover residential and commercial properties. Plus, get inspiring ideas to make your house a home from our sponsor, Osmond Designs. Here's Heather Osmond and Jeff Kaplan on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to the Real Estate Show. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Heather Osmond is here from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehigh and Orem.
Yes, they are. And today I have been so excited because we have one of the top real estate agents in the entire state of Utah, Dan Evans with Summit Realty, back on the show with us. Welcome back, Dan.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be back.
It's always so fun to have you because you have your finger on the pulse of what's happening in the Utah real estate market. And in this episode, we'll be diving into the latest trends, challenges, and opportunities for both buyers and sellers. So first and foremost, Dan, give us a snapshot. What's the current state of Utah's real estate market as we close the summer of 2025?
My goodness, and it's blown on by, hasn't it? But it is, there's a lot to talk about for sure. So we are in a market, I would say similar to previous markets over the last 20 years, which is there are haves and there are have-nots. As a seller, the haves are the homes that are up to date, current social media trends, priced well. Those homes are still selling at high price per square foot. They are selling with competing bids and they're moving quickly. Demand is very high, but it is a very picky demand. So you have those homes. The have-nots are the homes that are either outdated or overpriced or both. So those homes tend to get showings, they tend to get viewings, but they don't get offers, and then they have to discount to try to find a buyer at the price. The crazy thing is once they hit the right price, competing bids. So we still see competing bids even now.
I still think, you know, everyone keeps talking about demand and inventory. It seems like things, just like you're mentioning, things that are priced well are still selling. And people are worried about the interest rates and how people are watching and staying on the sidelines. But as you're saying, if you have money, you're still in the market and you're buying what you want, correct?
Correct. And it's also an adjustment. People who were maybe looking at something at $1.5 million before are now looking at $800,000 or $900,000. There are plenty of people who are fortunate enough to have a good cash position to buy whatever they want, or they are able to float the monthly amount. What we're seeing 3 years into elevated interest rates is we're seeing that basically people have either adjusted their expectations and said our cost of living is just going to be higher and they're buying anyway, or family steps in with a gift, or someone else steps in with a gift, or people choose to not engage because they have a really low rate.
Another rumor out there is there's a lot of cancellations. So you're selling homes 2 and 3 times. Is that correct?
That is correct. So one thing we have noticed, and this is unofficial, I mean, you can't look it up anywhere except for on the KSL Real Estate Podcast, I have never seen a period in my 20-year career where seller expectations and buyer expectations are further apart than they are right now.
What do you mean by that?
So that's a good question. So what it means is that sellers are still operating under, and for good reason, is you had the COVID years where anything was selling, everything spiked in value. And so a lot of those sellers still have that vision of their home in their mind. On the flip side, buyers are seeing higher interest rates. So what you buy costs more now. And they're also seeing that there's more inventory in the market. So they assume, hey, maybe we can get a discount here. So what we see in practicality is if a home is priced well, buyers will still offer lower than the asking price. And I would encourage people, if you like a home, go look at that home because there is a chance that you can get it at a lower price. But they'll go look at the home, and if it's not priced well, they will just not offer on it. And then as the price comes down, then they'll end up buying it. But sellers right now still think that we're in a situation where they can get a record-breaking price per foot.
The word low ball,
Yeah. Lowball comes to mind. Is that a good strategy if you're buying?
I mean, right now. Yeah, I only laugh because, I mean, it depends. It depends on if you throw in a quote-unquote lowball offer. It depends on the maturity of the agent and the sellers to be able to handle that and look at it as numbers and not as...
How dare you?
Yeah, exactly. How dare you? We have memories of this house. So lowball offers, I think most sellers would say, hey, I just want to see an offer. And most buyers, even the savvy ones, assume that if a home is listed at, say, $2 million, the seller expects to get $2 million. So we're in a weird situation where you have buyers who are a little afraid to lowball, and you have sellers who are just open to anything, but when they get a lowball, they get offended. So it's the same but different, but the same as it always is.
It's up to the agent to take the emotion out of it, because the homeowner, no way. It is insulting when you think you have a $2 million property and you get a bid of 1/6.
I wouldn't recommend that philosophy as a real estate agent back in the day. I think that it hurts you to do that more than it helps you, because it really is offensive to those sellers. So do your research, get an experienced real estate agent like Dan Evans to help you find that sweet spot that you're not necessarily offending people, but maybe you have the status and the documentation and the evidence to back up why you are offering less. And then you'll have much more negotiating power, wouldn't you say, Dan?
Yeah, and so that's where we were going with that it needs to have a thoughtful conversation, whether it's buyer and seller directly or agent and agent directly. There needs to be a thoughtful discussion. I mean, we had an example of a home, we'll say in the Olympus Cove area, because that's where it is. And I have a client who... we had ample evidence that their sales price was a couple $100,000 too high. And the seller said, hey, we don't care. We think it's worth this much. Well, you know what happens is if the buyer really wants a home, they're going to pay that price despite evidence. But if you're in the mode of trying to lowball, you need to have a thoughtful discussion and evidence, not just, hey, the world owes me a lower price. But the problem is that we have an industry full of people who are not always the most professional. And so conversations typically break down at that point. I mean, we could go on and on, actually. I could say that a lot.
But we could keep laughing about this conversation for sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of tiptoeing around it. But to your point, Jeff, with the agents, is we jokingly around our office say that we are a drama sponge and that we should be removing the spice out of whatever people are feeling when we communicate that to the other side. I mean, the joke about agents is, hey, I just got a huge commission for a home my buyer found on Zillow. But the reality is we're here to service a transaction and to try to help things happen, because it is an emotional decision for both parties every time.
It is more than ever. And just as you were saying, sellers think their home is worth top dollar and they want to get top dollar. And I understand that. I've been a seller. I want to get as much as I can. However, buyers are often topping out at a certain budget. And of course, they always want a Ferrari at a Honda price. And I can't blame them either, because I love a great deal as well. So I think that's very difficult. We do live in Utah. And, you know, anyone that lives in Utah knows.
We are the deal capital of the world. I mean, it's the pioneer spirit where we're like, hey, we'll, you know, roll up our sleeves and lowball a house.
Wait. Are we really that different from any other real estate market that's in the same place where we are now?
I think a good metric to look at is for sell by owner transactions. That is probably where we stand out. Is I talk to agents around the country regularly. I have mastermind calls with agents that have similar teams. We discuss best practices and how to help our clients get good customer service. We are routinely known as the for sale by owner capital of the world.
Really?
Yep.
Really? And elsewhere, this is rejected by most people.
Well, elsewhere, and it boils down to, and it also kind of comes down to price a little bit. If you look in Utah, and I may get a little heat for this, but if you look at price ranges, as the prices go up, the level of for sale by owners goes down. So typically where you see most for sale by owners is under 1.5 million because it's a lot of money to hire an agent.
I'm not going to give 3% to ..
Exactly. That dum-dum, I mean, I can't pay 3%. But the reality is if you pick a good agent, and to Heather's point, you interview someone that has a track record and a good business plan and great customer service, you're saving that money by paying that money.
You are so saving so much more than the money that you will ever pay an experienced real estate agent. And there are so many great reasons to hire someone like Dan Evans, one of the top real estate agents in the entire state of Utah. So easy for me to say that about you, Dan. I've worked with you in numerous transactions. Okay, Dan, so back to Utah housing prices versus national trends. It seems like Utah's is out competing, wouldn't you still say?
Yeah, Utah is still a great market, a great place to live. We have great public schools, great resources, access to the outdoors. I mean, Utah is a destination spot. And what we typically see in a hot market like we had during COVID is we get a lot of people who buy homes to live here. We don't get a lot of people like, say, the Phoenix or Vegas metros where they buy for investments. So people who buy here usually are living here. And that's why our prices tend to stay high.
I agree. We've set the stage with a big picture look at Utah real estate. Coming up, we'll dive into what buyers need to know right now if they're hoping to buy a home in today's market, and also some tips for sellers and things they can do. Stay tuned. We have Dan Evans with Summit Realty on the show with us. We'll be right back.
We're back with the KSL Real Estate Show, sponsored by Osmond Designs on KSL News Radio.
Yes, it's the KSL Real Estate Show. We're glad you're listening. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Heather Osmond is here from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehigh and Orem.
Yes, they are. And as a former real estate agent, I guess I still have my license. I don't really practice too much, only for friends and family, but as a real estate agent, I have the opportunity to work with a lot of real estate agents, and doing this radio show has helped me, again, meet lots of people and have lots of transactions and communications with people in the industry. Dan Evans, you are by far one of the best in the state of Utah. I refer a lot of clients to you, I will just say that, and for good reason, because Dan Evans with Summit Realty knows what's going on. I would say you specialize specifically or primarily in the luxury real estate market. You do sell all price points all across the Wasatch Front, but we're so happy to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, we do specialize in luxury sales, but we take all comers.
For sure. This segment, we're talking about what buyers are up against in today's market. Maybe some of the challenges and expectations that you can give some tips to buyers about and how to buy a home in today's market.
Yeah, really good. And I think that's a great question, because today you have more information at your disposal than ever. And so it's something where you have a lot of information, but maybe not a lot of context on the information. And so we were talking about how seller expectations and buyer expectations are as far apart as I have ever seen. So buyers think the homes are dramatically overpriced. Sellers think, well, if my neighbor sold for X, I should sell for X plus 5%. So we're in an interesting environment. So when we were discussing buyers and buyers who are approaching buying a home, we talked a little bit about how to approach even offering on a home or what to go about it. And number one is you don't get what you deserve necessarily in this market. You get whatever you have the leverage to negotiate. And it's a good thing to remember. And so if you are the only buyer on a home, you have an opportunity to negotiate. If there are three competing bids, you're not negotiating. You're just picking the best price to get them to want you. And so as a buyer approaching buying a home, I would first of all look at the agent that you're working with. Even though you can find everything on Zillow, it is all out there. You could set up your own appointment. You could go to the home on your own. The biggest piece of information is context and also a little bit of protocol and how things work. So with the NAR settlement, and we'll talk about that probably a little bit later, there has been a little bit of a challenge where we've had more people go it alone or go unrepresented than we've ever had before. And that does cause friction. And as a buyer, I would strongly suggest going against it because you're at a disadvantage versus represented buyers. So if you're going to go buy a home, I would find a good agent that knows the area that you're looking at. I would make sure that agent has training in negotiating. I would make sure that agent knows the market, knows the area. Just because someone has a license does not mean that they're great at their job. It means they have a license. The bar, and the reason why I think real estate has maybe a small reputation issue, is the bar to get a license is about a month worth of online classes and passing a test.
90 hours, right?
90 hours and pass a test. There's no bar for, hey, you need to have an apprenticeship or you need to be an assistant on a team to figure out how things work. Someone fresh with their license could go out and sell a home without any training at all.
Doesn't a hairstylist need more training than a real estate agent?
There are
it's like 1,500 hours or something, right? In a year and a half.
Yeah, but that's your hair.
What? I mean, come on. These are huge money transactions and there's no experience.
Yeah, there are huge transactions and getting a license does not mean that you have professionalism. It means you got a license. And kind of like with hairstylists, there are great hairstylists. I've seen plenty of great ones. There are some that are not good at their job. I mean, it's just the way it goes. And the thing is, though, is if you're a bad hairstylist, you get immediate feedback and you get weeded out almost instantaneously.
And your hair grows back.
And your hair grows back.
Sometimes not.
Yeah. I mean, regrowing a house would involve arson and going to jail. So, but with real estate, you can be a mediocre real estate agent for 20 years as long as you pay $1,000 a year to maintain your license. So I don't know how to urge people more is interview and get a track record. Make sure the person you hire takes their job seriously.
Okay, wait, what do you look for? I mean, you talk about interview them, but the layman doesn't know what questions to ask. You do. Tell us.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple questions. So if I was interviewing, and I mean, this is the other little dirty secret about our industry is beginner agents tend to be buyer agents. So you're usually getting the most inexperienced, least trained person. If you're just picking someone out of the blue, it's usually a brand new agent that has no practical experience. And the reason why is it's a lot easier to take a buyer around town. It's less confrontation. It's a lot harder to talk to a seller who calls you and they want to list their home and they're $500,000 off on the price. And you have to look them in the eye and say, I know it's disappointing, but we need to list it lower. So new inexperienced agents are usually buyer agents. So number one is how long have you been in the industry? That matters a little bit. What matters more is how many homes do you sell a year? Someone could sell 5,000 homes, but if in the last 5 years you've only sold 20 homes, you're not a great agent recently. So how good are you recently? That would be number two. Number three, do you have staff or support to help you with your job? Those three questions would weed out most of the inexperienced agents and have you get you someone who knows what they're doing, has systems and processes in place, and will make it an efficient process. I mean, anyone can drive around and look at 100 homes, but the difference between a good agent and a bad agent is you look at 3 homes with a good agent, you look at 20 with a bad agent.
I think so too. And that also has a good reputation and that can work well with people because this is a really small industry and it doesn't do anyone any good if you are stuck with an agent that no one likes and that can't get along with people. So make sure you get along with that person. They get along with other people. They have a great reputation, and I think it can be a very, very fun process. In fact, I'm a huge HGTV fan, so I love to just, you know, at night, turn on that show and tour homes. It's what I love to do as an interior designer.
I want to ask you, we don't have time right now, but I want to ask you, are those agents on TV, are they any good?
No.
Let's talk about them.
They're not Dan Evans at Summer Realty. Let's
coming
just
up.
Say that. Coming right up next on KSL Radio Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the KSL Real Estate Show. Hear updates on the national and local Utah real estate markets. We cover residential and commercial properties. Plus, get inspiring ideas to make your house a home from our sponsor, Osmond Designs. Here's Heather Osmond and Jeff Kaplan on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Show. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Heather Osmond is here from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehigh and Orem.
Yes, they are. And I'm here with Jeff Kaplan and our guest, Dan Evans from Summit Realty. In this segment, we're going to be talking about how sellers can position themselves to get the best results and which neighborhoods are seeing the most demand. But before we get into that, we want to talk about the HGTV. You know, I'm a huge HGTV fan. I don't watch a lot of television, but if I am going to do that, I definitely turn that on. I love to watch all the luxury homes, and they actually have a lot of vacation homes that they go around and look at. But a lot of those agents, Dan, are not good. And you really should be having your own HGTV show because you actually are a very, very good real estate
Guys,
agent.
Guys, I have to interject because in the last segment, I asked HGTV agents, are they any good? And you both like lurched and popped in your chairs as you said, no.
Exploded.
They're the worst. No, there's, I mean, someone who I look up to, Ryan Serhant, has his own Netflix show. That guy knows the stuff. He's awesome. But I think the reason why all that stuff is so popular is, I mentioned in a previous segment, is real estate transactions are dramatic. And a real estate agent's job is to be a drama reducer. And like I said, we call them drama sponges in our office.
Marriage counselors, all
exactly.
The above.
Is, I mean, but the TV stuff, the reason why it does so well is it's dramatic. I mean, you have to manufacture drama on The Real Housewives, where real estate stuff is just like, write a contract and let it unfold, because people get angry, they get hurt, they get upset. And our job is to take that, diffuse it, and pass it along to someone else so that you don't end in a lawsuit.
And that's not what's depicted on HGTV.
No, it's all, what you see on HGTV,
you too, huh?
Yeah, I need to go to school, I guess. So on HGTV, what you see is you see the dramatic side of it and not the diffused, filtered side to the other side. I mean, a lot of our communication usually to the other side is very like even tone, plain and fact-based rather than, ah.
Do you ever watch it and say, oh man, they got the price on that house so wrong?
Usually it's out of market. I don't have any idea. I've never seen the Salt Lake one, but yeah. But I mean, I also deeply empathize with those agents when a seller is like, our home's worth $2 million. And in your head and on paper, it's 1.5. That happens every day.
Every single day, unfortunately. Okay.
Look at the MLS.
Exactly. So going back to television shows, as a buyer, you need to be pre-qualified, Dan. That gives you huge leverage when you're negotiating. Let me just give a quick shout out to Central Bank. They are the sponsor of this KSL radio show, and they have locations all across the Wasatch Front. Central Bank, you are always my first go-to for recommending anyone that needs a loan, whether that is a construction loan if they need a new home, or they just need a savings account, a checking account, a kids' youth savings account. Central Bank, you're killing it. They have in-house lenders. And I feel like it's one of those Friends shows where everyone knows your name when you walk in. So that's kind of cool too. Thank you, Central Bank. Okay, Dan, let's switch gears. Being a seller, you do want a buyer that's pre-qualified. You don't want to waste your time on looky-loos, is what they call them in the industry, but just people wanting decorating ideas. That's what the Parade of Homes is for, right?
That is exactly right. Yeah.
So sellers, what are some tips?
Some good tips. And I think one tip for both buyers and sellers is, just because you have a strategy in your transaction or going into buying a home or selling a home doesn't mean it's the right strategy. I would urge people to be flexible and nimble as far as being able to adjust on the fly, because things change so quickly and you don't even know it. But as a seller, the biggest issue that we face with sellers is everyone, including myself, for the most part, you have positive memories of your home. It's a giant chunk of most people's net worth, if not their entire net worth. And so there is a lot of emotion tied up in that house, and it's your quote unquote, it's your nest egg. So as a seller, I would simply say is a home sale is like selling a car. It is only worth the condition and the miles on the car, and that's it. It's not worth the memories or anything else. So we tell sellers oftentimes, hey, when you go to sell a car, do people factor in the dates you went on or the road trips? No, they just look at the condition and the miles. And that's what your house is condition and miles. So that's number one, is take the emotion out of it as much as you can and just simply look at the facts.
So a lot of sellers are working with agents are working with unrepresented buyers. Recently, there was an NAR lawsuit. Let's go into that a little bit.
Yeah, let's give you a quick update on that. So a year ago, there was a lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors, and it was mostly focused on unfair practices when it came to representation and sellers being required to pay both sides of the transaction commission. And really, some of it was also a little bit of the Zillow, Trulia, and other online platforms where you see the home displayed and there's three agents that are happy to take you through the home, and none of those agents are actually representing the sellers. So some of it was to simply just clarify representation. The other side of it was unbinding the buyer and the listing agent commissions so that theoretically both parties paid their own agents. The unintended consequence from it.
But this started just about exactly 1 year ago today.
Yeah, it was last August. It was a huge buildup to it. And In practicality, our market, not much has changed. Sellers are still paying buyer agent commissions. We just don't post it. And in fact, in most homes under a million, sellers are paying higher commission because buyer agents are just writing in 3% and not even talking to the agent about it. So that's A, but B, what we have seen as an unintended negative consequence is we are seeing more unrepresented buyers. So to show a home, and this is going to get in the weeds and I'll try to make it entertaining, but basically to show a home in today's market, you are required to sign paperwork with a buyer stating your relationship before you go in the home. Not dating or single. Yeah, but you have to state that buyer is unrepresented, that buyer is my client, or that buyer is someone else's client. And so most people, I'm the same way. The easiest way to get into a house to look at it is to say, I'm unrepresented and we'll discuss it later. So most of the time people are going into homes, especially if it's a sign call or a lead from an online ad, is they just sign paperwork saying I am unrepresented. At any point that can change to where we represent them or they have an agent or something. But ultimately people just want to get into a home and see the home. The challenge we're seeing now is more buyers are saying, hey, we just want to represent ourselves in the transaction period. And some agents will discount the price commensurate to a buyer agent commission. We are a firm that will never discount for an unrepresented buyer, and more firms are going that direction. And do you mind if I explain why?
No, please.
So again, on paper, a real estate sale is kind of simple. It's write the contract, get your financing or pay cash, inspect the home and close on it. Like on paper, it is as simple as it gets. In reality, it is a highly, as we've been talking about, there's a reason why there is a multi-billion dollar industry on reality real estate shows, is because it is a dramatic process. So people who are representing themselves, they are walking into a world where on paper, it looks simple and easy. And in reality, it's much more complex and emotional than you see. So what we see with unrepresented buyers is, as an agent, I have to protect my client. My only contractual obligation is to my seller. So that means I have a buyer who's offered. They have no representation. They are coming to me. My only loyalty is to my client. So basically, I'm working against them and contractually have to work against them. But at the same time, we need to make sure the home closes. So with an unrepresented buyer, the listing agent ends up stepping into some liability with that unrepresented buyer because you have to kind of help them along because they just don't know the beats and the procedures of a transaction.
Now, what's the detriment to the buyer? Because I hear a lot of people playing the world's tiniest violin for sellers' real estate agents who have to help things out with the buyer.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I know we're a sympathetic crowd, you know. I mean, the detriment to the buyer is that they, so I mentioned earlier, is you have to be nimble and flexible. And I would say, me included, when we sold our home, my wife and I had some really bad ideas and we sorted them out. And some of it was I bounced it off other agents in my office to make sure I was thinking clearly. And the answer was I was not. So A is, we as people, if you're getting no outside counsel or advice, you're going to go kind of to the worst devices usually. So that means it's more dramatic. You write an offer or proceed in a way that is unfamiliar to them. A good example would be, we're playing one game and an unrepresented buyer is playing another game, but we have the same score at the end. And so it's you're almost in speaking two different languages.
Where do these deals get jammed up the most? What's the problem point?
Boy, with unrepresented.
Day one.
with unrepresented.
So yeah. Unrepresented buyers. I mean, a good example is we had an unrepresented buyer who offered on the home. We presented logical evidence on our pricing. They came back and just said, we don't feel like it. We're like, cool. Well, good luck. And then they called me back and they're like, we're going to sue you because you didn't present our offer. And we're like, well, we did present your offer. We're obligated to. So right off the bat, we're getting hostility coming from a person just because we didn't like their offer. So it does start as early as negotiating. The most savvy contractual negotiator out there is not a real estate agent. I mean, even attorneys, I'm not a practicing attorney. I have one contract that I know, but if I went and tried to litigate something legally, I would be terrible at it. And attorneys hire real estate agents for that same reason. Is attorneys are great at their job, but they don't practice transactional real estate. So you get someone who has neither of those, and they show up, and it's highly emotional. It's not logical, despite what people think. It is an emotional decision, and they come in usually not knowing what the playing game or the playing field is.
So, so true. Today we're talking about the strategies. If you are a buyer or a seller, how to stand out right now and the pros and cons of both of those scenarios. Today we have Dan Evans. He is one of the top Utah real estate agents, specifically in the luxury home market, on the show with us. He's a regular. We love having him. He's always, you know, on the cutting edge of what's going on. You're listening to the KSL Real Estate Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We're back with the KSL Real Estate Show, sponsored by Osmond Designs on KSL News Radio.
Fascinating discussion. Welcome back to the Real Estate Show. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Heather Osmond is here from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehi and Orem.
Yes, and today we are joined by Dan Evans from Summit Realty. In our final segment, let's talk about unrepresented buyers. Let's continue that conversation because there's so much to know.
There is so much there. So we were talking previously about unrepresented buyers and what the problems can be. I think with the NAR settlement, I think there are people that are encouraged to go a path where, hey, we'll get legal counsel and we'll come in and we'll offer on a home and it'll be better than if we had an agent because we're good negotiators in our job, whatever our job is. And the challenge is, again, is each area of expertise is an area of expertise. And so if you're an unrepresented buyer, you could be going up against someone, in my case, with a couple thousand transactions. I've got 20 years of experience. I have hundreds of thousands of dollars of training. And your job is you're coming to me to say, hey, let's out negotiate this guy. And in that scenario, you won't win. But if I go to your industry and I try to play in your industry, I will probably lose. So it's just the way it goes. So
do you think that a lot of buyers come in thinking, oh, I'm going to save money because I won't have to pay an agent on my end? But that's actually not true because oftentimes the seller pays the agent.
Exactly. And in our case, we have in our contract that for an unrepresented buyer specifically, we get paid the same amount because it is usually a harder transaction for us. And we have to go out and actually do our job with the unrepresented buyer, despite them saying they're unrepresented. So I think most people, if they're attempting to do it, they have either had hey, I know what I'm doing, I don't need help. B, they had a bad experience with another agent. If you had a bad experience with an agent, it's kind of like getting bitten by a dog. It's like that dog bit you, it doesn't mean all dogs are bad. And usually what it means is if you had a bad experience, it means that there is probably 10, 20, 30 great agents out there. You just need to interview and find a good agent. So if you had a bad experience, I feel for you. I deal with those people every day. They're not great at their job. They're very frustrating, but have an agent help you out because real estate transactions are emotional. They are not logical, and you need to have someone who can take the emotion out of it, guide you through logically, and then also fight for your best interest.
There are always so many problems that occur in transactions. Let's touch base on maybe two others.
Yeah. So the where we see things break down, and we have had more cancellations this year, we're almost at, I think, an 8% cancellation rate on transactions. That's high.
Huge.
Yeah. Wow. And we're selling the same home two and three times sometimes.
What's more typical?
1-2%.
Really?
I mean, during COVID, it was if you had a buyer cancel, it was because you somehow like strong armed them out for the other 10 buyers that were looking for your house there. Mm-hmm. But the reason where it breaks down is usually due diligence. So inspections and appraisals. That's usually where it breaks down. A third one that we see is, and this speaks to, again, is interviewing a good agent, is we've had agents who were not busy and they have a buyer who maybe can qualify or can only qualify for X amount and they push the boundary. And so they're forcing things that shouldn't happen because they're not busy. So due diligence, you're inspecting the home, you're buying a home as is, you can negotiate whatever you have the leverage to negotiate with the seller. If the seller isn't willing to negotiate, you need to operate as if you're gonna buy the home either way and just take what you can get and then keep it moving because the grass isn't always greener with the next house.
So true. Okay, tell me a little bit about new construction versus existing homes.
Oh, man.
That's a whole show in itself.
Well, new construction right now, you have new construction where typically new construction, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it's usually priced higher than the existing homes because you have land value priced into it, and you also have future appreciation priced into it. There are most builders that are in the, I would say, the production price ranges, so under 1.5, are offering giant incentives for people to buy their home. I saw one with a prominent builder in the area, 9% buyer incentive. So if you're buying a $500,000 home, that is a $50,000 or $45,000 incentive to buy their home. So new construction's interesting. I would still have an agent because much like being an unrepresented buyer on a resale home, you're walking into the builder's territory. They want to do one thing, which is get you to sign, get you to close with the least amount of problems. You hire an agent, anything that goes sideways, the agent's got your back. And specifically on construction quality, that agent can help you out and get you the best situation.
Absolutely. Amazing information. This wraps up our conversation today with Dan Evans from Summit Realty. How do people find you, Dan?
The best way, my phone number is 801-372-3512.
Give it again. Nobody got that.
Oh, great. Okay, 801-372-3512. And then our website is evansteamutah.com. You also can find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook. We're everywhere online. We're happy to help.
And to our KSL friends, stay tuned every week for the latest news and advice on Utah real estate right here on KSL. See you next week.
Listen to KSL for the new and traditional content you've always loved. There's the new Inside Sources, expanded from 9 to noon, and new expanded news coverage with Maria Chaleos on midday, noon to 3. And of course, the news and weather from voices you love, mornings and afternoons. Here are new traditions and the familiar ones on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.